Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
You know, Jeff, every time I say the Creative Financing Podcast, I just want to say the Creative Financing Academy now.
Right.
Yeah. I'm like thinking in my head, don't mix those up. Anyway, if you guys are interested in the Creative Financing Academy, where, it's a video-based course that you learn in depth on how to structure these offers and use the different strategies that we talk about on the show, get a hold of Jeff, email Jeff at weofferoptions.com. Just wanted to throw that out right now. But today we will be continuing to talk about subject to deals. This has kind of been a long series for us where we've been talking about understanding creative financing and using all the strategies. So throughout this series, we've talked about, the six different strategies: lease option, contract for deed, first position trust deed and note, seller subordination, all-inclusive trust deed / wraparound mortgage, and then subject twos. Our last couple episodes, we talked about the three rules to abide by with subject to deals, which are never wholesale them, make it a shorter term, don't take it to the full length, because sellers want to get on with their life at some point and they always have short-term memory. And then don't offer performance deeds because title companies just won't take on the liability.
Or you run into crazy issues that trigger that performance deed when you don't want it to. So
Which is what happened.
Yeah.
So we went over our last episode. We went through an example of a single family home, 3-bed, 2-bath. It's 1200 square feet. It's in a smaller city, needs a roof and some updating. Monthly payment was 848 PITI. The seller owes about 62K between two different notes, and he's behind on payments. The house is worth about 165 fixed up. Seller just wants 70K for the property. Jeff was going to structure a deal where, he buys the property for 70K, reinstates the first mortgage, and then he was going to try to discount the second mortgage and get a payoff on that, and then close that out at the closing. And then he was just going to put it on the market and sell it. So now let's get into your other example. I'm guessing this is another offer you submitted, right, Jeff?
This is one that we're much further along into the deal. So,
okay, this is a different house then, right?
Yeah, totally different.
Okay, house. Different. So example two.
Yeah. So you remember I've talked about when I like to do subject two. I do a lot of subject two with people that are behind on payments or don't have a tremendous amount of equity, and where I can pay them their equity and just take over existing debt, right?
Yeah.
I don't love leaving sellers' equity in the deal that I'm taking subject to. That part doesn't make a lot of sense for me. So if there's going to be leftover equity, so I'm not paying them all their equity up front, that I'd rather structure it some other way than subject to. Knowing that, there are some exceptions. And this particular deal we could have done, it started out as a cash deal, by the way. And I wanted to try a new lender that was telling me that he would get me, super good rates, which was like 8% with no points. And And he was trying to convince me because, you know, I had told him I could bring him a good amount of business if that were the case. Well, it dragged on. And then when I finally got my term sheet, it was not 8% with no points. And so I went back to the seller. Let me give you the example here. So yeah. This is like a 2,400 square foot home, 4-bed, 2.5-bath, built in 2002. She owes about 290. She wanted 425. It's worth about 515. The payment is $2,500 a month, PITI.
And
there's an HOA, and it doesn't really matter how much it is, but I'll tell you a little bit of an issue that I ran into. Here's the interesting part. The loan is in her ex-husband's name. And when I say ex, they didn't get divorced. He died.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. I worked out a deal where I was paying cash, and I thought I was going to use this new lender. Didn't turn out, and but this spread is good, but it's not. On this kind of price range of a home, I'm just under maybe 80% loan to value. It doesn't need a lot of work. And when I say it doesn't need, I got to patch some holes. I got to replace a garage door. I got to do a little bit of landscaping. It's probably going to cost me $5,000-$7,000 tops to get it all ready and put back on the market. I probably have it in the market in 5 days. And so really what I want to do is gain control of this property and not incur a lot of expense with it, because in my mind it's still a little tight. Now I have some advantages. We have a contact in this area that's an investor / realtor, been in a mastermind with us, willing to help work with us on being the point person for getting things done repair wise and then listing the property for us, and has a way of potentially putting it on the market where we're not paying a buyer's agent, so we'd only be paying 3%. So nice. All those things combined made this kind of an interesting deal.
Yeah, what makes it worth it. What did you say she owes on it?
She owes 290.
Okay. So there's quite a bit of equity.
Yeah. So this is what I agreed to do. After the cash thing, I went back to her and I said, I want to structure this another way. And I said, I'll just give you all of your equity up front. And, but I want to leave that loan in place, and I will make payments on that loan until we get it sold. And she was like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, well, what are your concerns? And she's like, well, how can this come back on me? And I said, it can't. You're not on the loan. so that there's zero consequences or potential consequences for you. So in this particular case, there's zero risk on your part. I don't know if she believed me 100%, but because we had to have this conversation a few different times. But okay. I told her, in reality, what is your worst fear? And she said, well, what if you don't pay off the loan? Can they come after me? And I said, no, they can't. They would have to try to come after your husband, but he's not here anymore. So so she's like, okay, I get it. So what we had to do is get a payoff for the debt, right? So one, know exactly what the debt is, and And then we'll take our purchase price minus that debt. That's going to be the amount of money that I'm going to bring to the closing table, mm-hmm. which is sizable, right? I mean, it's
135K.
Well, I ended up getting it for 400.
Oh, so, 400. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's about 110. And, but here's the way I look at this is that, yes, and the payments maybe not the best, but it's not the worst either. And, you know, she's had this loan for a while. I don't know how much money will go toward principal, but I do know that hard money, none of my money is going toward principal, right? It's all going toward interest.
Yep.
So I am going to get some principal pay down while I own this property. I really don't expect to own it more than 3 months. It's a hot market. There's nothing on the market right now. So kind of gives us an advantage. And my hope is we only have it 3 months. And so I'd rather put more money up than to incur the potential more expenses, especially if it's only for a short period of time. So that's what we agreed to do, is that I would put up, I'll pay her all of her equity, and I'll take over that existing debt. I'll continue to make payments on it, even though it's not in her name. There's zero consequence to it. Even if I don't make any payment, she shouldn't really care. It's not coming back to her. She'll get all of the money that she needs up front, and that I have control of this property. I can now do with it what I need to do. And really wouldn't make sense to do this longer term. Mostly because she wasn't willing to leave any of her equity in this deal. I think the goal is to downsize a bit, and whether it's buying a house now or renting something for a while, this house still has the memories of her ex-husband in them. So it's time to move on. And so it really didn't make sense to try to structure this long-term, because there's just too much money needed up front. Really no way to recoup, but the most I could really hope to recruit is maybe 55,000, 60,000. When I said that's the most that I would hope, that's the most I would count on. You never quite know. But I don't want to go into it thinking I'm somehow going to get $100,000. But that's more like 20% down, not more like the 10 that I expect. So that's really the goal. Pretty straightforward. But I wanted to show another example of where I might be willing to break one of my rules, where I'm coming with more money up front. This property has more equity than some of the ones that I normally take subject to, but it still works in this case because the goal is be in it and out of it quickly.
What's her monthly payment on that?
2,500. Yeah. Includes everything, taxes, insurance.
Why is it so high? That seems high.
Based on the 290, this is in Florida, so taxes are a bit higher. This isn't a 3.5% interest rate. This is probably more like a 4.5% interest rate.
Okay.
So between those, let's talk about the HOA really quick. So certainly something that you want to look into before you take properties subject to, buy with cash, create owner financing with. Hey, if there's an HOA.
Yeah, what's the HOA on it?
So I don't remember what the fee is. It's not outrageous, right? I don't remember that the fee isn't what's important here. Obviously, if you were trying to look at as a rental, or, you know, I'm selling to an owner occupant, you'd want to know how that fee may or may not play into this whole thing. But one of the things that you need to know is that some HOAs don't allow rentals. And when I say they don't allow rentals, they don't even allow you to take title to a property in an entity. And so ultimately the title company will want, the HOA may want an application filled out prior to you purchasing the property. That was the case here. So they do not allow rentals. They do not allow an entity to buy or be put on title of any of the properties within the HOA. So that was a major issue. So I actually had, I'm actually buying this in my own personal name.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I had
you
to.
You can't even buy a property.
They will not allow. I spoke with the president of the HOA.
How is that even legal?
And I said to them, look, I am not planning on occupying this property. I said, I know that this property is an eyesore for you. She said, I live on the same street. I know it. And I said, well, I'm going to fix it up. And then I'm going to find some better neighbors for you. And she's like, I love that idea. The problem is that we can't approve you. And I said, well, what does that mean? You can't approve us. She's like, look, I got it worked out that we will not disapprove you. So we will not reject you, but we will not give you an approval letter. So if your title company is going to request an approval letter, we're not going to provide it. And I'm like, all right, you know, I thought that was going to work. And I went back to the title company and they said, no, we need an approval letter. And I'm like, oh my God. So
I've never bought a house in an HOA. So I guess this is kind of new to me.
Yeah. So I went back to her and I said, all right, I need an approval letter. So if I put it in my own name, will you give me the approval letter? She's like, yeah, we'll give you an approval letter. But we've been going back and forth on this. We're ready to close. This title company takes forever and ever, but this is one of the things that we had to get through, is that the HOA wasn't going to allow any rentals, isn't going to allow any entity to buy the property or be put on title. And then being able to get that approval letter from the HOA, at which when I sell, I also have to have them apply. And I'm like, I'd love to know what your criteria is, because, you know, how easy is that to discriminate against people? You don't know anyone, and you decide whether they get approved to be able to buy a house in this subdivision.
Yeah,
a little odd to me.
There could be, there could be some lawsuits there.
Yeah, and it's like, hey, you don't have the best credit, but I can qualify for a loan. I mean, should that be part of the approval process? So it'll be interesting. This is the first time that I've dealt with this kind of issue, but I am buying this subject to, I'm taking over existing debt, even though that debt, I don't really have to worry about loan being called due because it's going to be a short period of time. I don't have to worry about the seller being upset. This would be ideal if I could have kept it long term, right? Because I have no seller, no liability for the seller. The seller's dead.
Yeah. Man, that's so interesting. So you can't even put it in a trust? Will they allow a trust? I mean, people have their property.
They may have allowed a trust initially, if that's how I would have approached it. But once I found out that they wouldn't allow an entity, now they weren't going to let me put it into a trust. They knew what I was doing. Now, she was totally in favor of it, but the rest of the board was a little iffy about it. And I'm like, I just don't understand. You do want me to fix this property up, don't you? And yeah, that the answer was a resounding yes, but they really weren't willing to modify or bend a little on their rules. They were making it very difficult. So trust might have been a good way to approach it if I knew that there was going to be an issue up front.
Right. Yeah, but you don't. So yeah,
I did not.
And you were just trying to rebuying it in a separate LLC or
yes,
just using your own.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna. Yeah, again, I'm not really worried about too much on this because it's going to be super short term.
Right.
So I was just going to use my normal one of my LLCs to buy it and basically have it right back on the market within a week or less. So. But yeah, we had to jump through some hoops and hopefully we will close this next week. It should have closed 3 weeks ago already. And but issues with the title company, issues with the HOA, trying to get an estoppel letter from, I'll give you another really, we are using what's called the Nationwide Title Company. And we were using, this is also something that's pushed the closing off. We were using a company that works basically in every state and came highly recommended. I would not agree with that recommendation. And, initially I was doing cash, private hard money kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I switched to subject two. And when they found out, they said, we won't do that. And I'm like, what? I mean, I've worked with lots of title companies. And, the one thing that I've never heard of is that they wouldn't do a subject two. They might not want to wrap FHA loans or VA loans or contract for deed or whatever. But I've never worked with one that said, no, we don't do subject two. I'm like, there's nothing for you to do.
Right.
Put together a deed and issue me title insurance. We're done, basically. We had to start over with a new title company, and and then the estoppel letter, which is, hey, tell us all the current violations and potential fines that are coming from the HOA on the property currently that the seller is going to be responsible for, getting that, basically a payoff, right? It's taken way longer than it needs to. And just know that, hey, subject to, even as simple as it is, may not be recognized or used by every title company or attorney.
Yeah. So good, some good learning points there. Okay. Well, so the deal itself is pretty straightforward. You're just buying it for $400, bring in $110K down as a down payment to pay off the seller's equity. You're going to take over the monthly payments. So you're going to make minor repairs and then just place it right back on the market. Right. So the takeaways here is, you had what you thought were going to be favorable hard money terms, and then you got your term sheet from your hard money lender, and it was way more than they promised, really.
Way more.
Yeah. So you went back to the seller, said, hey, Mrs. Seller, I would like to structure this another way. Pay you all your equity up front still, so you're getting that, and we can still get this done. I guess my takeaways is working with the HOA, and I've just never heard of that. I haven't worked with HOAs before, but I've never heard of them not allowing any business entity to own the property. Yep. So, and I didn't even know that a title company requires an approval letter from the HOA. So that's interesting.
Yep. So any condos, you know, if you're buying condos or properties that are in subdivisions with HOAs, all of that needs to be, you know, the HOA, the CCNRs, which are the guidelines of the HOA. I tell you that Rebecca just bought a condo here, which obviously has an HOA and CCNRs, and they do allow rentals, but you know, in this complex, there's quite a few that they will only allow 12 rentals at any one given time. So if there's 12 rentals already, then you can't rent. And if there's not 12, then I guess you've got to let the board know. And now you can be one of the rentals. So HOA has rules, and you better know what some of those rules are prior to buying, right? So
yeah,
you know what you're able to do. And you know, if my goal was that I wanted to rent this property, and I didn't, you know, obviously in this case I would have been alerted that there's some issues, because you know, they weren't even going to allow me to buy in my entity name.
Yeah, that's crazy. That just baffles me that you can't sell property still.
Yep.
They can't. I mean, if you just had the seller just, and you didn't go through a title company, you just had the seller sign over a deed,
yep,
and you went and recorded it, that in the deed was signed over to a business entity, what could they do?
If they have an approval process, and you know, at some point they eventually realize that the previous owner is no longer the owner, you know, HOAs can foreclose on you. So if you don't pay the HOA fees, they become delinquent, that they can actually force foreclosure. So running into those kinds of issues with the HOA can present huge problems for you. By not getting the approval, I'm not quite sure what their potential steps would be to rectify that, but let's say I don't want to find out.
yeah.
Huh. They can cause some havoc for sure.
No, you don't want to find out the hard way. It's just, yeah, it just baffles me how they have so much control, I guess.
Well, I'll tell you another one on a different example. You know, we were contracted to buy some storage units, and you know, these were all climate controlled, so they were in a building, and the building had an HOA, and the HOA is what screwed this deal up, because the HOA's fees were super expensive, $1,600 a month, and so like $20,000 a year, and you know, covered the building, the elevator, the you know, the lobby, whatever. But here's what else you need to know about HOAs is that, so this seller told me that, you know, one, you want to know the economic viability of the HOA. You know, are they, if they're low on funds, then you might be seeing some what they call special assessments, which means that all the members of the HOA are now going to be charged a certain amount of money. Because hey, we've got to replace the gate or repave the roads or do the roofs,
and right,
you know, money has been mismanaged and we don't have enough. So on this particular one, they were assessing everyone $16,000 for to redo the elevator. And if I hadn't found that out and the seller wasn't totally upfront, I may have bought that property and now have been responsible for that $16,000 assessment.
Yeah. So it's always a good idea for anyone who's buying a property in an HOA or that has an HOA to contact the HOA. And can you just ask them, say, are there any assessments coming up?
You could ask him, hey, so tell me about the viability of the HOA. Tell me what's been done recently. What are the plans for the, you know, near future, you know, maybe longer term future? Do you see any special assessments coming, ways of members, you know, in the short term? You know, and really the most HOAs will have the finances. I mean, that's why they collect, you know, the $100, $200, $300, $400 a month from every member, is that, you know, to maintain the roads, to snow removal, to landscaping, to roofs or exterior of the properties, maybe water, sewer, garbage, whatever it may be, you know, the gate, any of that. It should be covering, you know, the expenses. But sometimes you get really poor management. You know, we talked to someone yesterday about a mobile home park, and he said, you know, the mobile home park has an HOA. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, well, how much does that cost? And he's like, it varies. And I'm like, I don't like the sound of this at all. What based on what? And he's like, so we're part of this community, everyone else is a subdivision, and it really is what incorporates the water and the sewer. And he's like, so if people aren't paying what they should be, then we get the carryover. I'm like, wait, what? And you know, it ranges from $300 to like $600 a month. And I'm like, you know, that's cutting into your into your cash flow, into your value of your property. You know, well, what are the rules on this? And you know, if we go any deeper, I'm going to have to find out more about this HOA expense for sure.
That's crazy.
So I don't mean for this to become HOA. It sounds more like that's what this episode was about.
Yeah, well, it's just because I'm learning here, I guess. And no, these are great points to consider if you're buying a property in an HOA. So this is all good information and things you need to be aware of, because I guess these deals just aren't as straightforward as they should be.
But you got to do your due diligence, right?
Yeah, especially you know, even as
a wholesaler, you know, in this particular example I'm buying, even as a wholesaler, I feel like I have an obligation to make sure that I explain all the good and the bad so I can get a quicker buying decision from our buyers.
Right.
And so, you know, like on the storage units, it's like, look, there is going to be an assessment. However, the seller has agreed to pay that. So now if you were to find out that you didn't think that I, you know, was not intentionally telling you or trying to cover it up, or you know, maybe didn't even know about it, I'm already addressing it.
Yeah, good point. Well, we'll wrap it up here then. I hope that this episode is helpful for you guys out there to understand subject twos. And subject twos are very, very straightforward, but they get messy when there's HOAs involved. So hopefully you get some takeaways from that. You guys can find all of our episodes at thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. That's our archive. Join our Facebook group, The Creative Financing Podcast, there if you have not already, to help each other learn how to structure deals and use creative financing. And then Jeff offers an apprenticeship program if you guys are interested in that. He has kind of two courses or two paces that you can go at. If you're interested in his wholesaling program, apprenticeship program, please email Rebecca. That's Rebecca at weofferoptions.com. And then again, guys, the Creative Financing Academy, if you want to go in depth and you want to follow along with Jeff step by step and see how he structures offers, send him an email, and that's jeff at weofferoptions with an s www.ecoinvest.com, and he'll send you a video, he'll give you a taste of what it's like right up front. You can decide if it's for you. And it's definitely, if you want to take your learning to the next level, you got to get in, right?
That's correct. And hey, don't forget about our Facebook group. It's free. Creative Financing Podcast. Bring your deals, ask your questions. A great way to keep furthering your education.
Yep. Hey guys, till next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.